Hello, world. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Fright Talk. Here on this podcast, we talk about all things horrifying and suspenseful found in culture, books, and film. Before we get started, special shout out to the Horror Writers Association, my dear family. I'm looking forward to our next conference, which is taking place this May 2023. And in addition, thank you to the South Florida Writers Association for your undying support and promotion of Fright Talk in your respective venues. So much more collaboration-wise for us in the upcoming year. Today's episode, however, is one that is very special, and even more so the person who's come here today to join me to talk about it. We're going to be discussing horror's differences between today versus the past. And to make that a reality is a special guest. Caleb DeLeon is a soon-to-be graduating student at Broward College. I had the esteemed pleasure of working, teaching, and learning from this incredible young man. And today, he's here with us to impart his own perspective. This conversation is special for me because it's been almost 2 years in the making. And I'm very excited because Fright Talk, as we begin to reimagine our own platform here in the spaces we're going. Caleb DeLeon is one of our newest potential additions. We hope, no pressure to Caleb, to join us and be part of this tradition for these exciting conversations. With that, I welcome you, Caleb. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be coming on. As Billy said, it's been almost 2 years now, and it's worth noting he was my first teacher at Broward College, and I'm so thankful that I took his class and to be given this opportunity. And to speak about horror, one of my favorite things to both read and watch. So yeah, horror has changed so much, yet it's actually remained so similar. I don't know if you've noticed, but a lot of horror in the past was like based on, you know, these people such as Freddy Krueger and Pinhead and, you know, the It creature. And now we're seeing almost the exact same thing, just reimagined with better CGI, you know, a more, I guess, inclusive cast and a different bit of rhetoric that goes with it, which is, it's pretty refreshing, but it is a little bit of the same old with a new light, which is pretty interesting. I don't know what you think about that, but.
I think it's one of those, I agree with you. There has been such, in the recent years, in the wake of so many movements, social movements, generations have matured, new generations have been introduced to the genre as well. We're beginning to see such a global inclusion and sub-layers of horror that are now becoming more mainstream. And one of those ideas that you bring up is the idea of Afrofuturism, which is a very incredible term when we're looking at the future as it relates to people of the African diaspora, as it relates to these incredible spaces and issues that happen in those spaces while under the guise and lenses of horror in or sci-fi. And so it's really neat that we're seeing that. And in fact, you mentioned something before our, you know, in our conversations prior to the show, you said in your journal, you had written this idea. This was like something, this topic itself, this comparison between the two is so important for you. And I also admire the fact that you're journaling, so props to you on that.
Thank you.
Like you said, some of those characters, there's one name that comes to mind, you know, director-wise and producer-wise of these incredible focuses that we're seeing is the Great Peele and the movies that are coming out. And I'm sure you've seen a couple, right? Some of his films?
I've had the pleasure of seeing them all in the movie theater. Specifically, I really liked Nope. And one thing that I will say that Jordan Peele has done, which is not typically seen in horror, but it has been, is the, I guess, spookification of certain music. When you watch the movie Us, you get that, what is it, Five on Me, I think it's called. It gets like slowed down. It makes the whole feel of the movie something different than you would have seen in the past, where they'd have like, you know, a different song, like, you know, Mary Had a Little Lamb or something, you have no idea, but some more classical song. And now they're taking more songs that are, you know, from a different, like you said, diaspora, which is, it's really cool to see. But what's also cool to see is the take he's going on is, you know, a lot of the movies have stuff that's never been seen before in horror. Like, we haven't seen a lot of horror movies that have been based on strictly, you know, racism and classism, right. Or let alone the new movie. Nope, no spoilers, but Aliens have been pretty similar in horror movies, but not like this. This is, you know, so unseen, you know, bringing in the aspect of like, let's catch it on footage. Let's, you know, do all these different things. Is it's pretty cool to see. And I wish we had more writers like him in the past, so that remakes could be made now by him, if that makes sense.
It does. It does. In fact, you remind me of one of the tropes within Get Out, the idea as people of color, we both can speak on this, that we're always having to work to be accepted in spaces that we're not used to or welcomed sometimes. And then when we are, we're always on our guard because there's always something that that particular space may want from us. And yeah. So as that movie plays into that, and even the notion of medical practice, you know, and no spoilers, folks, but because it plays within that atmosphere of that aspect of psychology and mind control and sci-fi mixed with horror, it blends.
And brainwashing.
And brainwashing. You see the messages here. You know, it's almost as if these movies that Peele is creating is also, in a way, helping communities and people deal with their traumas in certain ways. And so these movies began to crosswalk even greater stories so that we don't need to see the scary monster when the monster is within us, is part of humanity. Super cool. Super cool indeed.
Yeah, I think it's great. And also, I mean, Jordan Peele's not the only one. I think his name is Justin Simon. He made that movie Bad Hair, which was a horror movie about hair in the Black community, which is you never would have, you know, thought of that. But to see that movie be as terrifying, as gut-wrenching as it is pretty, it's pretty stellar. And I think playing on the Afrofuturism is something that they can capitalize a lot on in the future, because since there's not a lot of the movies made in that, you know, in that aspect, there's so many different stories they can tell, so many different, you know, so many different lights they can bring to shine. So I hope more writers step up and take the same direction as Jordan Peele, or they just let Jordan Peele, you know, make his own horrific cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really cool. I know that he reuses that same actor quite often, but I would like to see them all come together. I think that would be cool.
Caleb, would you star in one of the movies? If Peele came to you right now and say, "Hey, Caleb, would you be a part of this?" And obviously gave you a storyline that would probably be something that would match or suit or pique your interest, would you consider it?
I mean, something that I think about often is like, I'm a twin. So like, if I were to be in a movie, I think it would be great to have, you know, a twin brother come in, because they always do the twin aspect in horror movies. But if he wanted me to come play a twin and do like a horrific twin thing like they had in Us, I would be all for it. when it comes to the spooky, you know, leading roles, I don't think I have the facial mannerisms to get away with it. But a background as like a spooky twin would be great. Or maybe something with like, you know, one of the people who's like the first killed. I always think it's so funny. The guy's, you know, sitting in the toilet or, you know, driving his car, something random. And then they're the first one to get attacked or the first one to go missing. And it's always just like a gag, which is something I'd like.
Have you seen the movie Candyman, the remake of Candyman?
I have. I've seen the original Candyman and I've seen the newer Candyman, and it's worth saying that the new Candyman is a bit more entertaining, and it's a lot more visually pleasing. I feel like Candyman, the original, is a bit, you know, it's spooky, it's gory, you know, it's there's a lot of bugs and but this new one has you like, he's looking in the mirror and he's seeing the Candyman and he's got the bugs crawling out of him. And it's also really psychological, which is a piece they didn't really touch that much on in the original Candyman. So, yeah.
I love the fact in the new one, it gives it its modern spin by bringing in a social justice context. And because the original Candyman really didn't offer all that, it was just the spook aspect and this very dark love relationship or need or desire between him and the protagonist of the movie. And this version, however, we're almost getting like a justification. There's a reason why society created the demon, the monster.
Yeah.
The monster is like creating some like paranormal vigilante justice here that's working out pretty well. And it works cool. It works for now. I agree with you. It's definitely one of those movies where it's like, okay, that was different. But have you heard, I'm sure you may not have heard of them, or I'll try it out. Have you heard of the Messer Brothers?
The Messer Brothers? I think so. What project did they create?
Good question. And this is a shout out to my friend who is a professor at Miami Dade College. He's an art professor. These are his sons. And they're now in Hollywood. And every time we have this show, and he's a fan of the show, he's always like, hey, can you mention my son? They're right now in New Zealand shooting this horror film. They were just in Homestead, Florida a couple years back before COVID, shooting a horror film based in Homestead, Mexican environment, bringing in, again, a Latinx identity as it applies to horror. Because even within our cultures, our cultures are very spiritual. And I have to say that. So then, automatically, we're going to get some entities that are religiously challenging, which is really neat, or the demons or the monsters or the fairy tales under our beds, the cryptids of our cultures. Mm-hmm. But even more so now, what we're seeing now, they're going to an international scope here. And they're now looking at these spaces as people of color in these other foreign spaces, as we acclimate in those spaces. So it's definitely interesting because, at least for me, I know a lot of people of color, Black in particular, don't know how to swim, afraid of water, open bodies of water or oceans. There's historical ties to that. But then if I play into that now in the context of a horror movie or sci-fi, that lends it further. Or even aliens, like for instance, Nope, the idea that something could come out and want, what's the response?
Yeah, I'm out of there.
I'm out of there, right? But where to go? And it brings in another socioeconomic aspect of being ranchers and folks who are, you know, in a unique space of work that is not glorified, I guess.
Yeah, no.
So it's just interesting. I'm appreciating that, and I want more envelopes pushed into other spaces too. I may, for you, Caleb, don't give away your secrets because you might be working on your own projects, but is there something that you feel that, at least in our own locale, right now where we live, that perhaps could potentially turn into something horrifying?
Okay. So I'm not a Florida local. I'm from Massachusetts originally, and I've only been in Florida, specifically Broward and Tallahassee, for the better half of 2 years. But what I have seen is there's a very large Caribbean population down here. Me, myself, I'm Caribbean as well. But of that is a lot of Latin people, and mostly a lot that I've heard of are, you know, Haitian, Dominican, Puerto Rican, et cetera. And something that I'd love to see, I would love, absolutely love to see, would be a horror story based on the folklore in, you know, Caribbean countries. We see a lot of folklore of stuff that's Americanized or, you know, stuff like that. But to see a chupacabra come, or, you know, something has to do with like the native indigenous people to the Caribbean, I think would be really cool. So maybe like a Taino-based horror movie or something that ties in with the chupacabra, because we've seen a lot of stuff of werewolves, and they're typically led, you know, with predominantly white casts and with the same type of, you know, plot line. The moon comes out, somebody goes missing, the boy cried wolf. We've heard the story, you know, a pretty handsome werewolf, and then he turns on. We've seen it. I want to see, you know, them maybe do a chupacabra somewhere in Florida, in a more, you know, typically Mexican or different Latin population. I'd be interested to see if it would be, you know, Spanish or, you know, whoever, how they'd play in with the, you know, the culture in that. But it would be cool to, you know, add in themes of colonization or add in themes of, you know, the blend, I guess, but also with, you know, with different folklore would be great. Like I said, the chupacabra is something, I don't know, maybe we have some Scooby-Doo fans, but other than Scooby-Doo, I've yet to see the chupacabra be played in a horror movie. So I'd like to see that. I'd definitely like to see some movies with leads that are Latino. I know that a lot of the movies now have become more inclusive, which I think is great, because, you know, the modern trope is the minority, whatever they may be, would be the first to die or the least likely to make it out of the situation, or, you know, a non-likable character or something of that nature. So to see that person make it through the whole, you know, movie, mm-hmm. perhaps a mm-hmm. book or, you know, anything would be, I think that'd be pretty great. You know, seeing them defeat their own demons is something that would be pretty cool, both culturally and visually. I mean, I haven't seen a chupacabra in 2020 or since then. So,
yeah, I mean, I've seen La Llorona. There's the Mexican cryptid. That was, what is his name? He's the guy that comes and takes kids, and he's almost like the Rumpelstiltskin going wrong, who steals the kids and puts them in their bag and steals them away. Like, they're all, we're beginning, you're right, we're not seeing those things. And it's nice that we're now getting the opportunity to, because it really exposes all cultures have these lore. They have these cryptids, these characters that really define and order, that represent trauma, that represent tragedy, that represent fear. And you reminded me of something. I just wrote it here. I, as a member of the Horror Writers Association of America, I get the chance during our conference to see these short films. It's a short film festival. And mm-hmm. some of the best films that could be adapted to perhaps extended films are these short films. And one of them that I saw was that now became a movie recently, was this African family who moved here from Africa, immigrated here to America. Oh my God. You know what I'm talking about, right?
I loved that movie. Excellent. So much.
Excellent. Because it brings in, Caleb, two realities. Now I'm going to a new place, a new territory to establish my life. And I happen to move into a space that's contended with some kind of situation. It's like, whoa, hold on here. What's going on here? Now, the last thing I need is my home, my sacred space, to be, you know, to be possessed or paranormal. And so, and then it, of course, brings in other layers to it. It was just super cool. There's even a Brazilian short film that I saw, and there's a Brazilian writer who was on a panel last year. She was saying how that there she's bringing in Brazilian American culture and identity into horror now. So that's awesome. We're even getting Afro-Australian horror. Met a couple of writers as well who are bringing that merging of cultures. And I'm thinking, this is super cool, because it really just blurs the lines and boundaries further.
True. Yeah, I think it's also worth noting, Lupita Nyong'o, mm-hmm. the actor from Us, she's of Afro-Latino descent too. Mm-hmm. So she starred in a lot of good works that are horrific. One thing I wanted to speak about was, there's been a lot of horror movies recently, and coming up in the future, that aren't just horror movies. You've got a lot of stuff that's also sci-fi, mm-hmm. Which is kind of cool. For example, you had like recently Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness was kind of something like that. You had the New Mutants movie, which mm-hmm. was a spin-off of an X-Men comic that was supposed to be kind of like you said earlier with Get Out, a psychological but also horror. I'm pretty excited to see what they have. I know that Werewolf by Night came out recently. These are a lot of Disney works, but what I'm mm-hmm. excited to see mm-hmm. is a new Blade, especially mm-hmm. from Mahershala Ali. And we've seen vampires recently with that movie, The Invitation, mm-hmm. and a lot.
I like that movie
recently
too.
I loved it. I thought it was funny, but mm-hmm. I think it's a great way to bring in more characters by, you know, bringing in that element of sci-fi, mm-hmm. Because it's great. I mean, we've seen Stakes drive through hearts, you know, killing Dracula, but this is Blade. We haven't seen him for the last 20 years, so to see them bring vampires and make them spooky should be great. I don't know if you saw Morbius, but that was another vampire-esque horror movie, sci-fi comic.
The last living vampire.
Yeah.
And that Stan Lee called him.
Yeah, listen, I'm nothing short of a great Marvel fan, but I could not stomach that movie and enjoy it, let alone as a comic, but a horror movie. Oof. But Blade, they have a redemption right there. Especially with Mahershala Ali, he's been in mm-hmm. such great projects, so mm-hmm. I think that'll be great. And I wonder what you think about bringing in sci-fi with horror, especially with what we can do today with CGI. What would you like to see them, you know, bring out?
Okay. I'll give you one that to answer that question with a character from Marvel, Spawn. Got a lot of slack. People thought it was an awful movie back when it came out. I remember seeing it at the movies when I was in college. And I remember Michael J. White played him.
Yep.
I thought it was such a great movie. You had John Leguizamo, who I love. I think he's hilarious. Play a role too. So you have
he was the clown, right?
He was the clown, and it was so well done. I felt it was definitely, even if one watches it today, the special effects and the magnitude of the movie's content was, it definitely will parallel some of the things we see today. I would love to see a new Spawn, and that Spawn because Spawn blurs the lines. It's the genre blurring film because it's horror, because of the dark, the devil, the underworld space, you know, aspect. But then you also get this sci-fi piece that brings it when we're looking at phenomena that are bound in time that uses or requires science, technology, evolution of humanity or species. It just blurs it perfectly. And I think Spawn would be a great space to try something new. Problem is, I love Disney. It's Disney. And Disney's not going to be able to go as far as it would.
It's Image Comics.
Image? So it's not
Spawn. Yeah, I think he's
I didn't know
separate
that.
From Marvel and DC. He's in his own entity.
Oh, good.
So yeah, that was another thing that I was thinking a while back, was that Disney or whatever studio that would produce that movie might, you know, gentrify Spawn. But it's going to be an Image Comics produced movie, which I guess the last one they had done was the Spawn, the original one.
Mm-hmm.
And what I heard recently was that they're going to have Jamie Foxx play the character of Al Simmons, Spawn. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But I would not agree. I could not agree more with you about bringing Spawn back. He was the first black superhero. Well, I guess anti-hero, whatever you may call him, that I had ever seen. And he kind of gives me a lot of Venom vibes from Marvel. And I guess that was supposed to be a horror movie also, but I'm excited to see that, you know, that weird goop kind of like consume him, and, you know, the green and all the weird devil aspects. But it also played a lot on, you know, life and death and morality, that movie too, because I know that it's, you know, it said a lot about the government that he was working for and the people that he was associating with, and, you know, how he felt like the devil, and then he came back and realized that they were the devil, and, you know, all of this juxtaposition is, I don't know, it's not something we've seen a lot of recently. So I guess recently they did that Hellboy horror thing, which was, I guess, kind of the same type of idea. You have such a classic with the Ron Perlman movies, and with you know, Spawn, with that movie, and Blade. All those movies had come out, I guess, before their time, and they were ahead of their time. But now, like, looking back at it, is it worth, you know, remaking some of these classics? Like we were talking about earlier, they've taken a lot of the things from the past. You know, we've had, you know, Child's Play, Chucky, Freddy Krueger, you know, all these different characters back. Yeah, they're just coming back. And I think it's, for some, too soon. For some, you know, it should have came sooner. But I'm interested to hear your take on what character you'd like to see originally, you know, such as like Jason, all these. I mean, we've seen Michael Myers come back a bunch. We've seen, I guess, recently Pinhead and Hellraiser, all that. Who is someone you think is getting slept on, who needs a bit of a revamp?
That's a good question. I will say one that would be great for horror, and even if it required a blurring of genres, even if it became horror fantasy, I'm okay with that. Not horror adventure, but horror fantasy. Maybe some take on The Mummy. You know, I'm looking at some of the classics of, and I'm thinking of the classic The Mummy movie, which I love, with Brandon Fraser. I think it's a cool movie. But I'm thinking, okay, so nothing fun and adventurous. Let's take it dark and give it a tale. And maybe we can bring in some of the Egyptology. We can bring in some of the Arabic world and the Middle Eastern culture. There's a nice place that we can play there and bring in that space. So there is one character there. I had this conversation on an episode a year back when we talked about the idea of what hasn't already been done, right? And yeah. one of the things, we've seen fish, we've seen supernatural monsters, we've seen robots, we've seen spiders, we've seen dogs, we've seen cats. Like, I'm naming every animal. So, you know, our entity. I'm always wondering if there's another animal or something that we haven't seen. Like, remember Cujo? I remember when Cujo came out by Stephen King, and the dog that was bitten, it was a rabid dog, and it was, and the dog began to kill its owner and all that. I'm mm-hmm. always wondering if we could take that man's best friend and take it to the next level. There's another space there too. So I'm looking at some, you know, animal horror as well as it relates to it. True primal animal horror and not some entity that it becomes, right?
Yeah.
Stay within it. So, and one more thing. We've seen epistolary footage, you know, found footage is epistolary films, you know, but I want to see more. We've seen some things come out on Zoom. I want to see more things play on the ring of the cameras at homes, you know, home video footage, work footage.
Yeah.
It'd be or really dash, easy to see. Dash cam, dash like
Uber,
cams,
Uber,
body
Ubers
cams
with their cameras.
Yeah. So you see, I'm looking for something, maybe epistolary horror that could
have you
now
seen
start playing in that. Have I seen what?
Creep?
No. And I it's on my list. Have you?
Yes, I've seen one and two. And I will say the most horrifying aspect of that movie is that it's all from the lens of you're holding the phone, recording what's going on, trying to piece it together.
I've heard that. Wow.
I thought that was a beautiful, like you were saying about the ring and all these different, you know, camera entities, Zoom, for example. That movie made it terrifying to want to hold the camera and terrifying for you want to record someone. So I think they could definitely play on that. I would love to see a movie or even read a book that has to do with body cam footage. Like they're reviewing some body cam footage and just slowly uncovering a horrific thing. I don't know if you've heard of, I think it's called Archive 81.
Mm-hmm.
It's that Netflix show where he's going through the films. They could do that modern day with like actual, you know, technology. So that'd be super cool.
Good point. And one final one for you too. How about this? You asked about, you know, something that could be done from the past. There's a book that I used to assign to students years ago, a good 15 years ago in ENC 1101. It's a novel. It's called The Particular Sadness of Lemon Cake. And the book is about this protagonist, female protagonist, who every time she would make her mother's, you know, bite into her mother's cake, she begins to learn her mother's dark secrets. And it plays in that space of fiction. But what if food culture could now become the new identity? Because we all need food. We all need it to survive. All species need to consume things. But what if that could be some other elemental aspect of horror that we could bring in that would just be fascinating to try? And so I'm trying that now in my next book. I'm doing some of that. But because food culture is such an incredible culture with descriptive and sensory details that just are fun to play with. But what if it turns on you and we need that food, but then all of a sudden that food needs us or eats us or becomes us? So it's like, okay. This is a new space. So I'm holding your generation accountable, brother. I know your generation is going to be the next horror great writers and directors to make this happen. And of course, creative thinkers like yourself to push the boundaries and explore the possibilities. You know, Caleb, you were awesome, man. I'm so glad to have you on the show. This, again, listeners, this has been 2 years almost in the making. And this incredible young man here, I've had the pleasure of seeing his writing and growth and his ability. I've seen his scholarship, but even more so, I've seen his influence on his peers in the college. He is never too tired to help and serve others. He does great, incredible work from mentoring to community engagement. He is a natural born leader. He is sought after. He's looked to for support and for guidance and just perspective. So Caleb, with all of that comes a heavy, a great opportunity, but also a great challenge, right? To balance all of this. Are you a creative yourself?
Yeah, I actually date a writer and she got me into writing about 2.5 years ago. And I've been writing poetry. I've been working on a few short stories that have to do with Okay, maybe they have to do with the chupacabra, but I am a bit of a creative, and I look forward to hopefully seeing some of that work get, you know, published and maybe in the future seen on screen, or maybe even as a short film would be kind of great.
And Caleb, if folks wanted to reach you, how can they reach you?
I have an Instagram. It's my first and last name, Caleb De Leon, with a KH. I know it's spooky, scary spelling, but KHALEB, DELEON at Instagram. And if you add an at gmail.com, that's my email. So, yeah.
And folks, I just want to also add, we're going to be posting Caleb's wonderful face on our partnership page of Everyday Folks Radio and FrightTalk.com websites so that you can also reach him at these options. And as well, we hope that you'll come over and subscribe. Subscribe to us today on FrightTalk.com, EverydayFolksRadio.com. You can also visit us on Instagram under same names as well, FrightTalk and also Everyday Folks Radio Podcast. Most importantly, what I love in particular is hearing from you. So if you have any questions or thoughts, ideas for conversations on our next episodes, like to be a guest on Fright Talk, well, all ears, don't be scared. Until next time, everyone, we thank you so much for listening. Please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, to our media feeds, and of course, be out on the lookout for other shows. We have a few more episodes that are coming. Until next time, take care.